shouting back, "Amen, preach, brother, preach, praise the Lord, hallelujah," you know, that kind of thing. It was that kind of sermon. We don't really do that in Wales, do we? But that's fine. But anyway, the thing I particularly liked about Derek White Sr.'s sermon was the title, right? And it was triumphantly ungrammatical. So kids, don't use this in front of your teachers. Your English teachers won't like the grammar on this. It was called, "Don't Let Nothing or Nobody Stop You from Getting Your Praise On." And that's fantastic, isn't it? Don't let nothing or nobody stop you from getting your praise on. So we're going to talk about getting your praise on this morning, which I think is a fantastic thing to talk about. And we'll start by thinking about a few people who got their praise on. Right, so Mary. Right? We all know the story about Mary, mother of Jesus, right? And slightly unexpected pregnancy, awkward situation and all that. She's in the spot of bother. She goes to visit her cousin, right? What do? Right? Mary and Elizabeth, they've got together. What do? Do they talk about decorating the... Do they talk about morning sickness remedies? Do they talk about what color baby grows to buy for the kids? No, they don't do any of that. Mary and Elizabeth, together, they get their praise on. And Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Savior, because he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant," and goes on with this fantastic prayer of praise. She doesn't want to talk about babies. She wants to praise God. Despite her predicament, she gets her praise on. Another story, also recorded for us by the same Bible author, Luke, and he tells a story about a beggar who's sitting outside the gates of the temple, and he couldn't walk. So it's significant that he's sitting outside the gates of the temple, because the Jews at the time wouldn't allow anybody who had any kind of disability inside the temple. So he was stuck outside the temple, and he was a beggar because he couldn't walk and he couldn't work. And so he was asking all the people, and so a couple of guys came up to him, and he said, "Spare any change, please." And the stranger said to him, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the stranger bent down, picked him up, helped him to his feet, and he could walk. So what did he do at that point, right? This beggar who hadn't been able to walk for goodness knows how long. Did he straight away go job hunting? Did he go home to tell his family? He didn't do those things. He got his praise on, right? He went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. That's what they did, right? You know, first response to something happening in life, he praised. One more story from Luke, right? So we've got Paul and Silas, and they've been unjustly imprisoned. They've been imprisoned on the back of a lie. They've been beaten, and it's nighttime, and they're in the dungeons of a prison in Philippi, stripped and beaten and humiliated. How did they react? Were they angry? Were they resentful? Did they start shouting and swearing at the jailer who chucked them in there unfairly? They didn't, right? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, right? Whatever their situation, they got their praise on, right? And actually, in that case, God sent the earthquake, but he sent the earthquake afterwards, and they were released from prison, but they praised God in whatever the situation. So think about it, right? You've got the beggar, the best day of his life. What does he do? He goes and praises God. Mary, the most awkward day of her life, and she goes and praises God. Paul and Silas, the most unjust day of their lives. What do? They praise. Luke seems to be telling us in his writings that we should be getting our praise on whatever the situation. So, maybe you came to church this morning and you had a lot on your mind. Maybe you didn't really feel like praising. Maybe things aren't going so well for you this week. Maybe you don't feel like getting your praise on. Maybe things are going brilliantly in your life, and actually, you don't want to be praising God. You want to be WhatsApping your friends and telling them how amazing life is. But God's saying, whatever your situation, come and praise me. So, let's see what the Psalms have to say. This is our main reading. I've got Anna, who's going to come and read for me, and it's Psalm 150, if you want to follow up with that. We've got a microphone. Which microphone should Anna use? There we go. that.
Praise God in his temple. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his strength. Praise him for his greatness. Praise him with trumpet blasts. Praise him with harps and lyres. Praise him with the tambourines and dancing. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Fantastic. Thank you, Anna. So, we're going to take that fantastic psalm, line by line. Well, not quite every line, because otherwise your dinner might burn in the oven. We're going to take it more or less line by line, and we're going to see what was written almost 3,000 years ago about praising God. And it starts with this, praise the Lord, right? And it ends with that line as well, praise the Lord, right? It starts and ends with praise the Lord. So what is that, right? Is that a command? Is it an encouragement to praise? Or is it a shout of praise? Well, yes, it's all of those. It is an encouragement to praise, and it's a command to praise, and it is also praise itself. Praise the Lord, right? And we need to praise, right? Our inward attitude needs to come out by articulating to God what he is and what he's like. We need to take, you know, as Christians, then we think God's great, and we need to tell him that, and that's what praise is. And through praise, we learn more about who God really is. And praise turns our minds away from our shortcomings. It turns away our minds away from our problems, from our failures, and turns us towards God, from whom our help comes. So, we need to praise. But where do we praise God? That's the next question the guy who wrote, or maybe the lady, I don't know, the person who wrote this psalm goes to next. Where do we praise God? Well, we find that we're to praise God in two places, in his sanctuary or in his temple, according to which version of the Bible that you're reading, and in his mighty heavens. Two places to praise God. And so let's think of the first one of those first, the temple or the sanctuary. For us, that's like saying, get your praise on when you're in church, right? So why do we come to church or to house groups or to anything else that we do when we gather together as a group of believers? Is it to meet our friends and to have fellowship? Is it to read from the Bible and to learn about God? Is it to listen to the notices? Well, yes, it is all of those things. But more than anything, it's to praise God together. And we've been in God's sanctuary this morning, right? We've been here in the presence of the Lord with the Holy Spirit amongst us. And did you praise him? You can answer me. Did you praise him? Yes. And we should always be praising him when we're together. You know, whether we're meeting together in a small group, you know, as a house group or something like that, or will you praise him when you do that later in the week? When the youth get together, are you going to praise God when you get together as a youth group? When the Spice of Life assemble together next Saturday, is there going to be praise to God going up? Because that's what we should be like as a church. We should be praising God. When you're in Soul Survivor, there was praise. And that's what's so great. It's when we open up our hearts to God and give him praise, then that's when he can come in and change us. But that's not enough, right? Praising God when you're in the temple, when you're in church, isn't enough. That's why the psalmist says to praise him in the temple and in the mighty heavens. The mighty heavens is everywhere else, right? So you don't just restrict, you particularly praise God when you're in church, but you should be praising God all the time wherever you are. And so the mighty heavens include your home. They include your workplace. They include the supermarket. It doesn't matter if you're on your car, in your car even. It's better than being on your car, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you're in your car or on your bike or whether you're walking. It doesn't matter if you're alone or whether you're with friends or whether you're happy or whether you're frightened, whatever your mood, wherever you are, whatever your situation, whatever you're doing, then God says, praise me. Just praise me where you are. Praise me. God's mighty heavens are pretty big and he wants them full of praise, and it's our job to fill them. Now, I don't mean that necessarily means that you should suddenly burst out singing Christian songs when you're in your boss's office or when you're in the classroom. That might lead to all sorts of other complicated situations and perhaps undermine the praise that you were hoping to bring to God. But we can have thankful, grateful hearts all day. We can praise God in silent prayer when things go well or things go badly. And we, like Mary, can tell our friends how much we appreciate the Lord when we meet with them. So, that's a question for you. Do you get your praise on in the mighty heavens, or do you just restrict your praise to when you're in the sanctuary? God wants our whole lives to be full of praise. So that's where we should praise. But what is praise? Well, again, we get the answer in the psalm. It says, praise him for his acts of power and praise him for his surpassing greatness. Two things again. Praise God for what he is and praise God for what he's done. The two things, right? They're different, but they're similar and linked. God wants us to praise him for both. He wants us to praise him for what he is. He wants us to stand before him and acknowledge with our lips that he is holy, that he's just, that he's righteous, that he's eternal, that he's immortal, that he's loving, that he's powerful, that he's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He wants us to open our mouths and tell him these things. That's what praise is, right? But he also wants us to personalize that and make it into what God's done for us. He's redeemed us. He saved us. He cares for us. He puts food on our table. He puts clothes on our backs. He puts a roof over our heads. He gives us friends. He sends sunshine and he sends rain. He's forgiven our sins. He raises us from the dead. He's making a home for us in eternity. He looks after us. He's a good, good God. And he wants us to tell him that and to thank him for it. So when we get our praise on, then don't forget to praise God for what he is. Don't just think about, thank you for what you've done for me, but praise God for what he is. But don't just praise about the abstract of what God is. Thank him for the work that he's done in your life. And he'll bless you. But how do we praise? Now's the question. We know where we should pray. We know what praise is, right? We know that we should praise. But how do we praise? And this is the famous part of the psalm. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. The cymbals get two mentions. So the psalmist was a musician. So he gives us a list of instruments that we can use to praise the Lord. And, don't worry if your instrument is the electric guitar or the keyboard or the organ or the piano or something, which aren't in the list, digital sampling devices, etc. The list is obviously giving us an illustration of ways that we can praise God. It's not exhaustive. Although, having said that, we do have a harp and we do have some cymbals. So some things haven't changed over the last 3,000 years. But think about the forms of expression that we've got there. So some of them are played with the lungs, trumpets and pipes. And some of them with the hands, harps and lyres. Some of them play melodies. And some of them are percussive and provide rhythm. And some of them are outside the body, like dance. Some of them are outside the body, like, instruments. They're things that we're controlling to use for the glory of God. And some of them use our bodies themselves, like dance. And no one person can do all of those things at the same time, right? There's no one clever enough to play all of those instruments and dance at the same time. So we can't all do all of it. But what can we learn from this chaotic cacophony of praise that the psalmist is describing? What we can learn is this. There's a lot of ways of expressing our praise for God. And find the one that works for you, right? The trumpet player probably wouldn't have been very good at playing the harp. So he stuck to the trumpet and the harpist played the harp. And then that means God gets praise. So whatever way works for you for praising God, then do it, right? There's loads of ways of expressing our praise to God, whether that's voices or music or dance or silence too, for that matter. Whatever your way of praising God is, do it. And everyone is going to bring their own unique form of expression in worship. And let's treasure the forms of expression that we see in each other, right? You want worship like I do, and I want worship like you do. That's okay. As long as we're praising, that's good, right? And we can learn from each other. So we don't need to feel intimidated if we're not musical or if we're not expressive with words like the guy who wrote the psalm was. There'll be a way for you to praise God. Find it and do it. And don't tell other people how to praise and worship. They don't need to be told. They just need to worship. And so some people best praise God in the calm of an ancient cathedral, and others connect to him in the cranked up volume of a Texan Baptist congregation. And some love to praise through reflective a cappella singing, and others through contemporary Christian worship, and that's fine too. And some love to dance and shout, and others to stand, sit, or kneel. And those aren't the things that matter. What matters is, what's your heart like? Are you praising God? Are you getting your praise on? And as I started off by saying, don't let nothing or nobody stop you from getting your praise on. But we've got one more question that we need to answer. Who should praise God? Well, that's an easy answer. The psalmist tells us that everything that has breath, that everything that breathes should praise the Lord. That's all people. Now, that might sound straightforward, but, you know, there are still sort of, in Britain, we've most of them have been, were sacked in the by Henry VIII, but there are still the remains of monasteries in Britain, and there are active monasteries in other parts of Europe. One of the things that led to the formation of many of the monasteries was rich landowners who didn't really have time to pray, who thought that they could outsource their praying. So the idea is that you get a you get some monks to you give them some money, and they build a monastery in somewhere on your land. And part of the deal is they pray for you, and you give them some money. And it's great, you know, it means that you don't have to worry about praying. Except praising doesn't work like that. I can't say to Simon, I've got a busy week coming up, right? I mean, I have got a busy week, right? I'm going to be in London for half the week. So, right, I've got a busy week. Do you think you could do my praising for me this week, right? You know, God would, I don't know. Should we say half an hour a day? Is that a deal? You're right, you pray. And then maybe sometime when you're busy, then I'll praise on your behalf. It doesn't work like that, does it, right? We can't get someone else to praise on our behalf, right? The praise has got to come from our own heart up to God. Everyone has got a responsibility to praise, right? Not everyone in a church preaches. Not everyone in a church plays the harp or the keyboard. But everyone should be praising. And that's why I was so pleased with what Zoe said. I'm sorry I've got your attention there, Zoe. I was so pleased with what you said earlier, that in Soul Survivor, it didn't feel like a concert, I think you said, but it felt that you were all part of praising God together, right? And that is so right, okay? You know, we call the guys who do the music here the worship group. We don't call them the worship group because they worship for us. We call them the worship group because they